firing off live Friday from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
It is live.
I know.
Right, all of a sudden, yeah.
You're live.
Good to be here, man.
I got to push the buttons really
you
fast.
You are, yeah, go. I like it. Sun is shining.
Yeah.
Beautiful
it ain't snowing.
Day. It is not snowing today. We've covered the weather. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day for baseball.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I heard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We've got some sportings underway. A couple things we'll talk about today. NCAA Final Four, which is the best month of sports.
Is it?
For me.
Is it though?
It is for me. Yes.
Is it? What month is usually the World Series in?
October.
So is in October like one of the better?
Doesn't do much for me.
I suppose not, because both our teams are never in it, right?
Right, yeah. I haven't seen a Brewers. My gosh. A Brewers World Series happened the year I was born. We've come within, a couple games, a couple times over the last 40 years. So, October baseball doesn't mean much to me. I've watched the Twins be more successful in my lifetime in October than the Brewers. So, no.
How about September, because of football?
Still no.
August?
Zeros. This month is my favorite. It really is. March hits. You get the conference tournaments leading up to the Final Four games it's like 2 weeks of late night college basketball.
Sure. What about draft week?
No, nothing. Draft goes, that takes so long. Like we're going to talk about draft today. We talked about it last Friday. We'll talk about it next Friday. The NFL draft is like its own sport league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The free agency, the NFL season is, the off season is just as exciting a lot of times than the regular season.
Yeah.
Because if your team's terrible, or are the Vikings, really just
want
to talk about
it. That took you less than a minute, 2 minutes.
That's what happens when we go off script here. Yeah, sorry, man.
Good job.
When your team isn't good, the offseason's all you got.
Right.
You know, like, because you can picture.
Like the Panthers?
Correct. If you're a Panthers fan, if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, as I am, the offseason's the only thing that does it for you, because you can see your team being great. A couple, 3-4 weeks into the season, you realize, this is why they're bad. You realize, like, the coaching isn't good. Or the
At least we'll get another first-round right? high draft pick again next year.
If your team's bad, you get excited like week two about next year's draft.
One thing about the draft or about the teams, it hasn't been, I mean, they kind of go through this 2-3 year skid, but then Texans.
Correct.
You know, Texans are for 3 years there. They were like,
just
a dumpster fire. But, you know, with the draft and, you know, you get better coaching. It's not like, what was a team that was just horrible for long? Detroit.
I mean, Detroit, yeah.
Chicago.
Detroit's the perfect Chicago. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, but at one point they.
At the beginning of their franchise in like 2002,
it's
been 20 years. Yeah. They were in the AFC Championship with like a Mark Brunell and a Jimmy Smith. They were really good, but that was a lot. They have been, forgettable ever since.
Right, Miami Dolphins.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Until maybe 3 years ago, I would say when they hired Mike Daniels. But it's just, I think the bad skids on these teams, every team that has a bad skid, it's not long. Doesn't take too long now in this era.
Unless you've got bad owners. That's the only caveat with all of this is you have a bad owner in pro baseball, it doesn't really matter, because your scouts really make a difference. Your scouts draft guys. Maybe you're a cheap owner. But in football, man, a bad owner, general managers don't want to play for you.
Washington.
You can't hire infrastructure because no one wants to coach, play, or go with Snyder or Al Davis.
Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of executives use it a lot, but the culture.
Yeah.
The culture, it does matter. You know, you and I are from restaurants. What's the culture?
Yeah, correct.
We've all been places that it's just been horrible.
Yeah.
But
you can create awesome stuff, but if around you is chaos,
right,
you don't want to come to work, and it doesn't help to be the best at a bad place.
Sure.
And that's how it is in sports too.
Sure. Yeah.
Or you look at, say, like, the Giants. The Giants continuously draft very high. They have they've been to a couple Super Bowls. They draft really high, but they're really bad.
I'm gonna top you in the New York. I think Jets. You should say the Jets.
You're correct. Yeah, New York Jets are the same thing. They were trying to import culture. They literally took the low end of the Green Bay Packers roster and put them on the Jets last year for culture. That's how you get.
How'd that work out last year?
Well, that's how your GM should end up being fired. That's why they're.
But he won't, because they're going to give him one more year or one or two more years with Aaron Rodgers. If anything happens, then he's going to be exalted as a hero.
And that's where you cycle back to the offseason is so important, because for the New York Jets, their season ended four plays in last year. The New York Jets had Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. You remember him.
Yeah.
He blew out his leg four plays in. Their season was done. Every New York Jets fan, if they're out there, all they wanted to do was talk about the offseason from that point on. That was all that mattered. So that's why the offseason for major or for football is such a thing. But it still doesn't top for me, like I said, Final Four. I was watching last night till like 11 o'clock at night, you know? Like, I was watching Alabama beat North Carolina. I watched Clemson, a team whose coach was on the hot seat going in. They won the ACC tournament. If they wouldn't have, their coach might not be here. They're in the Elite Eight.
Is anybody stopping UConn?
Well, that's just no. In my opinion, UConn has won nine consecutive NCAA tournament games. All of them by double digits.
Men's side. What about the women? They were a dynasty on the women's side too, weren't they? For
about 20 years. Yes, UConn was the. If you talk about a big sport being the best at it, UConn women's basketball. In my 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, Gino Auriemma, their coach, was the best coach. He and Pat Summitt at Tennessee. We're basically trading national championships back and forth for about 20 years. And UConn is in the women's side. I think they're still that good. Honestly, if it's not Caitlin Clark, I'm not paying, or South Carolina or LSU. It's hard for me to really get into women's sports. Me and my daughter were watching it the other day, and honestly, watching Caitlin Clark is still like the best thing in sports, man. Yeah. Watching people hit 30 footers with consistency is great. But no, so the NCAA, you got the March Madness, you got the Elite Eight, you got two more, you got games.
So
tonight.
Alabama beat UNC.
Correct.
Illinois beat Iowa State.
Illinois looks really good.
Yeah.
Illinois, I think, has more talent than, say, Purdue. Purdue is ranked number one in the country. They're the best team in the Big Ten. I think Illinois is better.
Than UConn?
No, man. UConn is.
That's who they play tomorrow.
Right. That sort of ends a season for. UConn has a top. They have a center who's going to be drafted in the top five. They've got point guards. They've got everything you need to win a championship last year, this year, next year. Their coach, Danny Hurley, is kind of a coach of legacy. His brother and dad were both. His brother Bobby Hurley was a player at Duke.
Sure. Yep.
His dad, I can't remember his dad. His dad is a long time high school coach.
Sure.
Danny Hurley is a top. You could argue that he's the best coach in college basketball.
Okay.
Gives them an advantage over everybody, and they won by 30 last night. They just can pour it on, man.
Yeah.
That team, it will take a monster effort. And a really well-disciplined team, and foul trouble. You got to run into a spot where maybe their 7'2" guy doesn't play.
Sure.
Something. But no, other than that, UConn is the clear betting line favorite.
What happened to your Badgers? Remember last week? A week ago,
man.
It was the exact time we were talking that you were going, they're going to be at least to the 16 or the 8. And
I was coming to the conclusion.
James
Madison was better.
Yeah.
James Madison was better. That's where the NCAA tournament really is my favorite time of year because I believed it. I didn't just say it last day. I believed it.
I knew you.
The Badgers were going to beat James Madison because they're a power conference team. They're going to roll into the second round against Duke, and they're going to be using their experience and veteran wiles. Mm-hmm. They're going to defeat the Duke Blue Devils with my bracket was done as soon as
James
I uttered
Madison
those words.
And actually, because of the show now,
I'm
getting into basketball a little bit more because of you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, yeah. So actually, I knew top of mind that the Badgers were playing James Madison.
Sure.
You know? So it was on TV. So I'm like, oh, I'll watch this at night because I'm, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Very much so.
You know, I don't know a lot about basketball. I just watch it as a fan. As a bystander, but. It didn't look good.
No.
James Madison was out hustling them. Mm-hmm. They were looking it was the better team, no matter what you say or what you want on that floor.
It was the fluke that the Badgers had the last 2 weeks of the season, where they played really well, ran through the tournament, looked great in the Big Ten tournament, was a fluke. The beginning of the season, where they were sixth in the country.
Like the Vikings, the 13-4 season.
Correct.
2 years ago.
Correct. It was a fluke. It was a, they are not as good as
they should be.
They were playing, you know, whatever it was. Yeah, no, because as soon as that game started, they got punched in the mouth by somebody,
yeah,
and that was it. Game over.
Yeah.
You could just see it. There wasn't a player on the Badgers team who was ready, which, like I said, it's, you're not going to replace a coach. Generally, a coach makes the NCAA tournament. That gives him another year or two, especially in college. It's not like making a bowl game in college football. Making the tournament in college basketball means you're going to be there next year.
Yeah, ask Calipari.
Correct. Oh, man, John Calipari looks like he could be done, and that would be – that would be fine. He, John Calipari's Kentucky Wildcats had a legacy of their method was get the best freshmen in the country, ship them to the NBA next year, and sometimes you win championships. That had worked well enough, but now recently there's teams that are getting their, everybody is getting these freshmen, right? Like,
right,
Arizona is getting star freshmen.
It's also,
UConn is getting these star freshmen.
The portal and the NIL,
yes,
has changed a lot of things, and a lot of debate yesterday and the last couple of days has been about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because teams, what was it, Christian Laettner was on one of the shows yesterday,
sure,
morning talking about, you know, because he's a Duke guy.
Yeah.
And he was asked about NIL and transfer. He absolutely hates all of it. Can't build culture, but whatever. But it's something that needed to happen, just didn't need to happen this way. As what, you know, it went from one extreme. You couldn't get peanut butter on a bagel.
Yeah.
To now you can make whatever you want.
Well, I mean, because that's the problem, is you heard stories of college athletes being broke and hungry. And
right.
That means they don't have time to be college athletes. They don't have time to do anything.
Right. But Christian Laettner talked about culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, But by transferring and everything else, you can't build that culture. You can't put the hard work in. Well, I think the kids put the hard work in.
The thing is, just because they're not putting the hard work in for the university doesn't,
right,
mean they're not putting the hard work in for themselves.
Well, I mean, if you're on a team that you're the fifth best guy or sixth best guy, that means,
yeah,
you're probably not going to start and you're not getting a lot of attention. So maybe, you know, you're not going to get into the NBA as high as you might be in,
right,
another team that you could be the star for.
And you know, for a lot of these guys, they've got to know they're not going to play in the NBA, right?
Well,
like, the odds of playing in the NBA, there is, every year there is 30, there's 60 roster spots opened up through the NBA,
right,
draft. That's not a real good chance to find yourself on an NBA,
right,
roster. For a lot of these guys, I'm guessing it comes down to, let's say you were great in high school, and all of these guys were great in high school. You don't play Division I basketball. The thought of sitting on the bench for 3 years during, like, you just want to play basketball, right?
Right?
Like, maybe you just want to be a starter. Maybe you want to get off the bench.
Yep.
Yeah, you should. These kids can. For me, building culture is a silly thing. Let them play ball
in college.
Correct.
Yeah. In college it is, and I think they should be allowed to. I mean, the kids should be allowed to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, coaches can do whatever they want.
You grow a lot as a person from 18 to 22.
Yeah.
Let's say you, at 18, you wanted to live on the West Coast because you knew a girl who lived in California.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, you might not want to live in California anymore, or 6 months later, you might not. Maybe you want to live somewhere,
right,
else. Maybe you want to play basketball with your buddy. Maybe you met a guy online and you'd rather play in Washington State because,
sure,
you heard it's beautiful there. No, these kids, I like the transfer portal. I am not concerned of a building of culture. I love the idea.
I think the biggest thing, I think, with the building and the culture and all that, and it comes down to the coaches changing. That's why I think I've seen a lot of big name, like Hall of Fame worthy,
yeah,
coaches, Saban, not Paterno, but what's the one that just retired last year?
Petrino? Not Bobby Petrino.
No. I don't remember. But they're leaving the game, and their interview was, you know, people interview him now going, "It's a different time."
Yeah,
Saban is a classic because I heard that interview, and he was, I'm 72. This is the way I am. I'm not gonna change. I'm not gonna change the way I do things now at 72,
because,
mm-hmm, it's just not what I want to do.
It also was amazing to me that a guy can be 72 and still can connect to 19-year-olds, right? Like,
right.
I don't know a lot of 70-year-olds who can come into and talk to 19-year-olds and convince them of anything, but kudos to a lot of these coaches to be able to do it at 72 years old. Also to know that it's time to go.
Yes.
You know, like a guy like Calipari, John Calipari, he looked like, it sounded like he wanted to keep going, but it also sounds like he doesn't know how.
Right.
Because you, for him, he spent his entire career getting freshmen, turning them into NBA recruits, and that was good enough for his fan base. That was winning tournament games. They were winning. But when you get these freshmen, and they're there for a year, and you promise them, you know, in a year you can go to the NBA, and by the way, you can't stay for 2 years because we have commitments from six other freshmen next year. That's what the Kentucky faces every year is they would have to change how they operate. It'd be like taking a business and saying, you're a restaurant now.
Right.
You know?
The biggest thing is, too, what I was listening to yesterday was the amount of one-and-dones is decreasing.
Yes.
Because now with NIL,
you
can actually make some money.
Well, that's the thing. Is for these guys to declare for the NBA draft in college, they might play overseas. They might play in Europe. That money is decent. You get to be a professional. But if you had a choice between playing in the second league in Turkey and, you know, as a 19-year-old or spending an extra year in college making – money from wherever, right? Like you can make money as a college guy by just showing up signing an autograph now.
Yep.
Do you remember a few years ago, there were guys kicked out of college for signing autographs? Do you remember it was at USC?
Yeah, that was Reggie Bush.
That was Reggie Bush. Yeah, he lost his Heisman
as
a result of doing exactly what these guys are allowed to legally do now.
What I was exaggerating before, where if you wouldn't do an interview or something on like ESPN.
Yeah.
And then ESPN wanted to feed you. They could feed you a bagel with butter, but they couldn't offer you and give you the peanut butter.
Right.
Because the NCAA.
Yeah, that was a gift.
Peanut butter, that's a meal, you know? And then it's like, that's ridiculous. Lacrosse.
Yeah.
Women's lacrosse. It was Northwestern, I think it was the example. Top lacrosse sports.
Correct.
She was top. She could not go to say, hey, listen, if you want me to come to your house for 1 hour and help teach your kid how to play lacrosse, I'll do that for you. But they could not associate.
Yeah, they couldn't be part of the university. It's a complicated thing because the NCAA, for anyone keeping track at home, is worth billions and billions
of dollars.
The problem
is they went from that, the bagel, to open the door and you could do whatever you want now. There needs to be a little bit.
There does, but for me, I mean, it's accepting that these are not amateur athletes anymore. Like, the thought of calling them national collegiate amateur athletes goes out the window when there's so much money swirling around them. When these kids can see...
Well, the ADs and the schools themselves get all that money.
It'd be like standing in one of those money booths and not being able to grab any of the money around you, but everybody else can grab the money.
Yeah, it's like the owners of the NFL.
Correct. No, these kids...
Yeah, same thing.
These adults... They're not kids, of course. They're young adults. These young adults can make money, should be able to make money any way that you want. But it doesn't dampen down the NCAA tournament, though. That's the thing. At the end of the day, the product is better. For me, watching an NCAA team filled with sophomores and juniors is better than watching McDonald's All-Americans just cycling
once again,
through
Kentucky. It's the coaches
over and
the systems needing to adapt to what it is. And if they don't adapt, then you're going to be fall to the wayside.
And it's interesting that you've seen some teams have adapted, like Tom Izzo at Michigan State, consistent. It turns out when you have a culture in place that hard work and sacrifice is part of the deal, because that's what they do at Michigan State for so long. It's hard work, sacrifice. At Kentucky, it's been look out for yourself. We're going to the league.
Right.
And now that it doesn't help them. It doesn't. They lose games to teams with. Well, they were talking about what it does in college in the NCAA Final Four. These blue blood teams have an average age of like 19 years old.
Sure.
Some of these, like James Madison, San Diego State last week. I was watching a San Diego State team that's featured 5 fifth-year seniors.
Right.
5 fifth-year seniors. These were all 23-year-olds going up against 19-year-olds. They win games like that.
Yeah.
That's how you build a culture.
It's like James Madison. They won 31 games.
Yes.
You know?
With guys who were there for 4 years, building a team up, building it.
And creating the environment. I think the biggest thing is in creating the environment – that they want to stay at is going to be the big thing for every team. You know, it's the, you know, making the money the secondary thing. Hey, we know you're going to make money, but this is let's look at the other side. It's recruiting from anybody else, like free agents in NFL.
It forces coaches, I would assume, to not be able to make grand promises to these kids. Standing in a living room, you can't promise them you'll be a starter. Why? Because I see your roster. I see that I might not be able to – I might transfer out, right? So it keeps these coaches accountable, which I like. I don't expect accountability from 19-year-olds who are given – handfuls of money.
Right.
Yeah. I don't. Why would they be accountable? They're 19-year-old kids with money, with a talent level, with a skill that is so specific that they should be paid well for it. There's only so many good basketball players. I would not watch the NCAA Final Four if it was not good basketball.
It's like being in the restaurant business, being paid line cook versus an executive chef.
Correct. Yes. You will. Yeah. Go get them. Right? If you're worth it, go get the money.
Couple games because we blew through 20 minutes.
We clipped through. Way to go, us.
NC State, Marquette. Who wins?
Marquette, man. Marquette is Tyler Kolek is the best point guard in the country.
Okay.
Marquette.
Okay. Purdue Gonzaga.
I pick Gonzaga. I mean, my bracket's it looks like just red. It's just pure red. It looks like a stop sign. It's terrible. But I'm gonna pick Gonzaga.
Okay.
Gonzaga has all the things that should win games. Depth.
Duke or Houston.
Houston in an ugly first team to 50 wins that game.
Okay, so it'd be a close game, you think?
Yes, I'm going to say 52 to 50. Okay. Houston plays a style that should remind Badger fans of like old school Dick Bennett smashing people in the mouth defense.
Tennessee Creighton.
I like Tennessee. Tennessee has got NBA talent.
Okay, and then the Elite Eight, obviously UConn Illinois.
UConn. Nobody's beaten UConn this year.
Okay. Alabama Clemson.
I like Alabama. Alabama doesn't play much defense. Clemson plays a lot of defense. But I happened to watch Alabama game last night. So I like Alabama in that one.
So Alabama's basketball team is better than their football team?
Correct. Wow. Their culture is better. Yeah. Yeah. Turns out they have a culture. Yeah, that culture comes down. Okay. But again, Alabama has guys that are seniors, four-year seniors. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's Badgers.
I
gotta take my jab.
I almost swore. Like there's nice people here that would have kicked us off the air immediately.
Your teams is the Badgers now.
I'm gonna do an ode to Christian Ponder next week. Gonna really enjoy all of that. What else? Baseball. Baseball started. Hey. We'll quickly talk about baseball. Things to happen in baseball. The Brewers' home opener was rained out.
Of course.
They are today. They're at New York Mets, which is an interesting one because David Stearns, former GM of the Brewers, is now the general manager for the Mets. Yep, the Mets. He went from having a bottom third payroll to having the highest payroll in baseball. I do not root for the Mets. Not at all. Not even a little bit. So they get underway. They're at the Mets. The Brewers, it's going to be we'll talk a lot next week about who's on the team and why.
Twins won, by the way.
Of course, yeah. The Twins are good. We could have that Twins Brewers World Series again, by the way. We're very, very close. Things of note in the baseball season for me.
Yep.
Bob Uecker is doing the opening pitch.
Okay.
And that's pretty much going to be the end of Bob Uecker's career, give or take, with the Brewers. Bob Uecker is my favorite radio personality.
But he's
90 years old. He's been with the Brewers for 50 years. He's been in pop culture for 60 years. His playing career ended in 1967. He's been with the Brewers. He's an announcer. He was on Miller Lite commercials. He was on Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah.
He's been a guy on TV. And all of us should listen to Brewers games on the radio all the time. Bob Uecker, you can sort of hear it little by little by little. He's spending less time around the team, so he doesn't know as much about the team. I could listen to him talk about even if he's talking about nothing. I'll listen. I can't wait.
Right.
But they're gonna kind of play it by ear. He only does home games anyway. He doesn't travel. Unfortunately, so get him. Listen today to Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
Please do check that off of your list because he's my favorite and he should be your favorite reason to listen to the Brewers. Okay. Also.
All right.
What else we got? Baseball. Of course, that Shohei Ohtani thing is just.
We'll talk about that next week. Nothing's going to come of it, I don't think, in this season.
No.
It'll be toward the end of the season, probably next year.
Fun fact that I enjoyed the Oakland A's.
Yes.
The Oakland A's are a baseball team. By definition, they're a baseball team. They're not. They're not good. They haven't been successful since the 80s. They don't spend any money. Their stadium is falling to garbage. They're moving next year to Las Vegas. They're going to be, I assume, the Las Vegas A's or something like that.
Sure.
Las Vegas has done a really good job in the last few years about kind of putting their gambling aside and being
kind of
right and being a pro, and being a place where pro teams could go. So as a protest, Oakland A's fans yesterday did not buy tickets. There was like a couple hundred people in the stands. They were all in the parking lot. So for the year, Oakland A's fans are going to be showing up, coming to the parking lot, not paying for tickets, not paying for concessions, not supporting the team, but listening to the game on the radio and the TV and on your car and cheering along next to this decrepit old stadium, which I thought was pretty amazing to me.
Yeah.
I would feel terrible. I mean, it's to tough. Be an Oakland A's owner, man, you've got to...
Does he feel terrible?
I would assume, other than being really rich, I would assume he's embarrassed, right? Like, you would have to
Not really, because he knows what's coming down the road next year.
That's true. He did sell his team for way more. Yeah, you know, it's a good call.
It's done.
That is the price you pay for being embarrassed, sure. is a $500 million. You're not wrong.
You got 4 minutes.
4 minutes. You know, we were going to talk about...
Football?
We're going to talk about football. Do you want to jam? What can we talk about in football for 4 minutes?
The top five quarterbacks that are proposed in the draft.
Sure.
They're changed. Other than Caleb Williams, the other four are just like all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, we got Minnesota assuming that they're going to jump up some way, somehow.
So Minnesota has positioned themselves to move up as high as they need to, right? Like, they could move to number one if they wanted.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot. But
you'd have to trade a lot to get there, but they've got capital to move from the 11.
Probably 3 is the highest. I don't think Washington's going to take. But the thing is, everybody pretty much is guaranteed that Caleb Williams is going to Chicago.
Yeah.
From there on out, it's like, well, who's Washington? The Patriots, are they going to stay there at number 3?
It's interesting that they try to match up what a team should do with who's the general man. Because I don't understand, if you're the Patriots or the Washington Commanders, why would you trade out of getting a franchise
Commanders
quarterback?
Will not. I think, but the problem with the Patriots, they have so many other needs.
But if you don't address quarterback, you will still need a quarterback.
No matter what. It doesn't matter if you don't have anything else to go with it.
I am of the belief that if you are staring, the opportunity to draft in the top 3 of the NFL is so rare. It should be. At least it should be rare. Yeah. Like, you should be able to make an impact with the top of the draft and the set, because you draft at the top of every round. So you should be able to get talent.
So if they're Patriots, yeah. You don't have a lot of time here, but Patriots pick number 3. If Minnesota trades with them, they get 11 and the 23rd pick in that first round.
But they still don't get their quarterback.
They could.
Again, the thought that you're going to get the fifth best quarterback, the sixth best quarterback in an NFL
even
draft.
The third.
Right, is a risk. So, is an incredible risk.
Knowing the way the Patriots work, they would try. I think they'd rather take the draft capital and start rebuilding it now.
And consider
because they need offense, they need defense, they need so much.
They are where Chicago was 2 years ago.
Because if they do that trade, then they get the number one pick next year too. Minnesota would be the Minnesota's first round.
Yeah,
so,
yep.
And also then you're
Minnesota,
looking at 2 years.
You're starting rookie quarterback. You're going to get a top. It's how Chicago did it. That's how Chicago found themselves in the position they are now. To be able to draft number one, being 7-10 last year, no number one pick has ever gone to a team with this much talent around it.
Right.
Or normally you go to a roster that is filled with holes and a team that's terrible, a GM is new.
And honestly, I think like any quarterback we take, because we're going to take a quarterback, we better. Minnesota's probably one of the better setups right now.
Correct.
Especially at that.
Well, because they were set up until last year. They were set up to have a veteran quarterback in that team. They were set to have a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins, so they needed a good offensive line.
And we can talk next week about the differences in the quarterbacks and who I think Minnesota should take. Maybe by next week we might see. No, we won't.
I mean,
there might be some clear breach. Nothing's going to happen until that week of draft anyway.
I love the idea of looking at these. There's four quarterbacks that are going to be drafted in the top 4.
Right.
That's really unprecedented. Also, there's no way that all of them 5 years from now are good.
No.
So I'm excited next week to talk about why the Vikings are going to drop the ball. I like. Well, it is easy. You're right. They have done that pretty consistently.
Come on.
Do you remember Christian?
Okay, look at that. We've got 25 seconds left.
Oh man, this has been a really good show. This has been the studio's
been kind of
quiet.
We talked more about basketball than we did NFL for once.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. All of the NBA fans, or all the college basketball fans out there, who, and also who don't want to talk about the football.
But 10 seconds.
This is so good. Thank you, WDRT. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. See you soon. Bye.